The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
On today's program, we're going to ask this question: how is belief not a choice? And what is a personal response? Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You may have questions you'd like Dr. Bob or Sean to answer. You can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
My name is Bob Wilkin. What's up?
Well, we're kind of entering a very busy time in GES ministry right now. We have a magazine that's due, a journal that's due, and so we're just really busy right now.
Yeah, we are.
Good busy. Yeah. Good busy. But boy, there's a lot to do. But we love doing this podcast too, because one of our ideas for doing this podcast was to reach people outside of our pond, is I think how someone put it.
Right.
You know, you want to reach people inside your pond, but you also kind of want to grow your pond or reach other ponds.
Well, that's right. And we have a number of people who actually donate because they want to see other people reached. We're on radio stations in the U.S. plus a whole bunch of like internet radio stations, right?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we're of course on our website. What is it? Spotify.
Yeah.
And
we're on all the main podcast apps. And a lot of people listen to us through there.
And not just in the U.S. We get questions and people listening from around the world. And so it's a real blessing to be able to have an impact in the lives of many people. And we appreciate all of you who are praying for this ministry and supporting it with your finances as well. And we're just thrilled that God is allowing us to have this impact.
Here's a question from Chris. And Chris says, I listened to your podcast about belief not being a personal response. It confused me because I thought choosing to believe something is a personal response. For example, I choose to believe in Christ as my Savior and believe that is my personal response to the gospel. What is your definition of a personal response?
Okay, to me, a personal response would be I get an email and I type a response and click reply. That would be a personal response.
Like,
I get a letter and I write a response and I send the letter back. You know, I get an invitation from a car dealer to come look at some car they have for sale. I choose to respond and I call them up, or I actually go there and look at the car. Those are personal responses. But let's say, for example, you're listening to the news and you hear that the governor of Arkansas vetoed a bill that would have made it illegal in the state of Arkansas for children to undergo sex change operations. They have to wait until they're 18. And he vetoed it. Is believing that the governor of Arkansas, that he vetoed that bill, is that a choice on my part to believe that?
Okay, so now are we talking about belief as a choice or belief as a personal response?
Either one.
Either one. So it's not, it would not be a choice. I don't think any belief is a choice.
It's also not a personal response.
Well, see, I'm trying to think of what...
It's an action.
I'm trying to think of why do people use the word personal response? Why is that important to them? And I wonder if it's because we live in a culture where people think, hey, if my grandfather was Catholic, I'm Catholic. You know, if my grandmother was raised in the Presbyterian church, so I guess that makes me Presbyterian.
Okay, maybe I can see that.
You need to, it's not enough. Your grandfather can't believe for you. You need to do the believing.
Okay, let's say this. Let's say that Chris does not believe that Jesus is God. He does not believe that Jesus died on the cross for his sins.
Yeah.
And he does not believe that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah.
And he does not believe that Jesus gives eternal life to those who believe in him.
Uh-huh.
Can Chris choose to believe that?
I don't see how.
How could he choose to believe it?
See, our view is no belief is a choice. You can't just... We'd all have to be locked up in an insane asylum if you had to choose your beliefs all the time. Imagine if you had to choose... If you and I had to choose to believe that we're sitting in your office recording these podcasts, and it's like we're expending effort to believe that we are here, and we're just trying not to choose that we're like, you know, dolphins swimming off the coast of Japan. It's like, whoa, I'm trying not to choose to believe that. I'm really trying to choose to believe that I'm here. We would all be crazy.
Exactly.
You don't choose your beliefs. That you just either believe that it's true or not. It's, people call it, the beliefs are just formed.
Okay. Now, I would suggest this. You can choose not to believe something. For example, when I was in college, I went to the University of California, Irvine, Go Anteaters, ZOT. But when I was there, I was very liberal in my political views. Mm-hmm. In fact, my first election, I voted for George McGovern, who was an extremely far-left candidate for president. And I would have voted for Angela Davis, who was at UCLA at the time, I believe, teaching politics, and she was a communist. I was essentially a communist when I graduated from, well, not when I graduated, but the beginning of my senior year. Now, sometime during that year, my views changed. I came to faith at the beginning of that year, faith in Christ, and suddenly I saw my whole worldview changing. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I began to change my political views as well. Now, I could have refused to listen to evidence that communism is wrong, so, or that socialism is wrong.
So that is within the control of your choice.
Right. But I couldn't choose to say, once I see the evidence, I can't say, well, I choose not to believe it. Now, I can choose not to reflect on it. And if I choose not to reflect on it, let me give you an example. Around the year 1989, 1990, the board of Grace Evangelical Society was having a meeting, and Zane Hodges was about to publish his book, Absolutely Free. Mm-hmm. And he had a chapter on it, I believe it's chapter 12, on repentance. Mm-hmm. And he argued that repentance is not a condition of everlasting life. And there were 10 board members. All of the board members, except for Zane, felt that repentance was a condition of eternal life. Mm-hmm. I believe we all held the change of mind view. But in any regard, they all held that. And Zane made a case at the board meeting that repentance is not a condition. Several of the board members were guys who graduated from DTS, Dallas Theological Seminary, with me, and they asked me, do you believe Zane's right? Do you believe that's right? And I said, well, I'm not yet convinced because there's still about 10 verses that I have trouble with. But he made a very compelling case, and I'm going to think about it. Well, they all walked away. Mm-hmm. They thought, no, I'm not convinced, and I'm not going to think about it. And so I don't know if too many of the other 10 thought that way. Now, there were one or two that were actually in the same position I was, where it made a lot of sense, I'm going to think about it. And I think some of those came over. But most of them didn't change their view. Yeah. And the reason is I don't think they meditate on it. Now, it took me 7 years. 7 years before I became convinced on these 10 passages that bug me.
So you had to choose to look at the evidence, to hear the arguments, to think about it.
Right.
To go back to the issue again and again. You didn't choose to believe what you believed, but you did choose to engage in those things that would kind of expose you to the evidence, to the arguments that could change your mind.
Exactly. And the same is true with someone like Chris. Chris, at some point, heard about Jesus, and he heard evidence about Jesus. He either believed or didn't believe what he heard, but if he continued to listen and prayed about it, he started believing some of these things he heard. And I assume the first thing he believed was not, I'm born again forever by faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
My guess is he first believed that Jesus was born in a manger and that God became a man.
Yeah.
And then he believed the miracles of Jesus and he probably believed the death and resurrection of Christ are the ultimate sign or proof that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you have everlasting life.
Right. You can think of it this way. I've heard this illustration. You can't choose to believe whether the lights in the room are on or off, but you can choose to go to the light switch and turn it on.
Right.
And when you turn it on, you will form the belief, the lights are on.
Well, unless your eyes are closed.
Yeah.
And if you open your eyes to the evidence, yes, you'll eventually come to faith, but not because you chose to believe. Now, there is one verse, I think, that brings out what I'm saying. John 5, 39 and 40. Jesus said to the legalistic Pharisees and scribes, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life.
Right.
Well, coming to Jesus is believing him. And what he's saying is, you're not willing to believe in me that you may have life. You might compare John 6:35, where coming to Jesus is a figure of speech for believing in him. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me a willingness to believe, yes, but belief itself is not a choice.
Right. But you do the believing. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around, what does this personal response mean to people? I think that's very unclear. Because clearly we believe that the person has to do the believing.
Well, right. Well, here's the deal, Sean. Most people don't believe in justification by faith alone. And yet they want to say they do. So what they say is, faith is more than believing facts. Faith is more than being persuaded.
So that's how you understand it. That personal response, you're taking it in some type of existential way.
Well, you've got something more than believing. You're now committing. You're surrendering. You're promising to serve Jesus the rest of your life. Some people use the word trust. If they mean it as a synonym for faith, fine. But if it's something different than faith,
yeah.
Well, now we're justified by faith plus trust.
Right. See, I would just take it as telling like a Roman Catholic, listen, it's not enough that you got baptized. You got to believe for yourself.
Right.
It's got to come from you. It can't come from your parents, your grandparents. It's got to be a personal response from you. You believe him.
If that's what people mean, fine. But they don't want to make belief itself a choice. Being open to believe is a choice, but you don't come to faith until the evidence persuades you. I think that's why in Acts 16:14 it says God opened Lydia's heart that she might heed the things spoken by Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
Opening of the heart is not regeneration. That's the moment at which God lets us see the evidence for what it is, because 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is blinding us.
Right.
God's in the business of taking off the blinders.
That's a whole other podcast.
Right.
We're going to have to wait till the next another show to discuss that.
All right.
Well, thanks for those thoughts, Bob. And Chris, I hope we've answered your question, but I suspect that we've provoked even more questions, in which case you know where to reach us. Write us at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website, and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to ask whether unsaved people can have the gifts of the Spirit. So, tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.